KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm your host, only for today, your host, Kevin Kirsten. Now, I know what you're thinking. This ain't Eddie Hughes. This isn't the voice I'm supposed to be hearing. But just give me a chance. Before you turn that radio dial, just give me a chance. He's just out on hiatus. He's enjoying time with his family on his Christmas vacation, running into the new year. And Jim Bartko as well. He's going to be back here soon for this new year. I'm filling in for my man. He's going to be back next week. So don't fret. Don't despair. We have not one, but two basketball interviews for you later on the show today. So stick around if you want to talk some Bulldog basketball, men's and women's side. We're going to be in the second year of the show, and I'm excited to see what is going to happen down the line this year. But we got some things to talk about today. We got both Bulldogs, women's and men's basketball games that happened on Wednesday. And we have both the games today against San Jose State. And I want to talk about that men's basketball game Wednesday at the Save Mart Center. That night was electric. If you weren't there, you missed it. If you were a high school kid, you really missed it because it was free tickets for all high school students that night. You blew it. But you know what? Yeah, you're going to learn for next time because you're going to hear all about it today on the show. And you're going to be like, I can't believe I missed that game. And you better make it to the next one because I think there's going to be some big things with this Fresno State men's basketball team this year. The women, on the other hand, they took a tough loss Wednesday night against Wyoming in Wyoming. There's still two games above 500. There's no time to panic right now. And I think it's going to take a couple more games to really figure out the chemistry with that team and get them all in those, like, one, two, three, four players in double digits in these games. You know, it happens. It's happened this year. You know, they have these games where they score 71 points, and then they have, you know, games like the other night where they score 48 points. That's not going to cut it. We know we're not going to get that every night from them. That's really not going to win games down the line, but let's focus on the positive. We know that the Lady Dogs are going to come back today at 2 o'clock against San Jose State at the Save Mart Center. Be there. Wear green. You get in for free. Wear all kind of green. If you're Irish, put it on every single green thing that you have for that St. Patrick's Day parade you usually do every year. But whatever. Just put some green on. Go there and support the Lady Dogs. Show out in some record numbers to let them know that you have their back even after a tough loss. We're going to go into a little bit of Fresno State men's basketball. And ooh, what a game you missed on Wednesday night. Man, Wyoming came into the Save Mart Center. The crowd was alive. There was a lot of people there. I mean, that place was packed. And men's basketball team delivered a show. It was a performance, and it was quite a defensive performance that night. I was sitting in the stands. I was enjoying the whole thing. It wasn't just a defensive performance, but it was just a physical game. Every single shot Wyoming took in that game was contested. Every single ball that was rolling out of bounds was dove after and was fought for. You know, you've seen Jamel Taylor diving across the ground. You've seen one play early in the beginning of the game. Jerron Hopkins thought he had, like, a nice, easy layup. It was blocked. And then instead of just giving up the play and hanging his head, he goes and chases the guy down, like, six steps later, steals the ball back, passes to his teammate, and it was a layup. Easy, too. I know one thing, though. This team is showing some physicality. It's showing some mesmerality. It's showing some resiliency. How many more things can I come up with that ends with a T or C or, you know, rhymes? Am I going to start like a rhyme right now? No, I'm not. But I am going to talk about how good they looked on Wednesday. They looked really good. Paul Watson, 25 points, a block, an assist. I mean, he just led the team. Cullen Russo, 3 steals, 18 points. Jamel Taylor, 14 points. Caracciato, 12 points, 6 blocks. 4 players in double digits on offense. And that doesn't even tell the tale of that game because it was a defensive game. There was a lot of fouls in that game. But I'm telling you what, if they weren't blocking the ball, they were making somebody feel it. There was bodies falling on the floor. There was players from the Wyoming side getting up and shaking out their shoulders or shaking their head or, you know, shaking off that physical foul that they just took. It wasn't flagrant-looking fouls. It was just them challenging every single attack to the basket. Every single, and Wyoming is known for running and gunning, transition offense, shooting the three quickly, And we were, I think we did a really good job of getting out to the wings, getting out to the arc, getting out to the top of the key, wherever they were at, posting up, trying to get that three. And then when they did throw it down the paint, hard fouls, battles for the ball, players scrambling, sprawling across the ground, looking for, you know, to get that possession, calling timeouts in the middle of the scrum. I mean, this game had everything. And if the crowd was feeling it, I was feeling it. I don't know if you could tell or not, but I was excited. It was one of the most exciting Fresno State basketball games that I've been to this year. Well, it was the most exciting, but I'm saying overall, I was into that game. Even from the last year's games, you know, I was into that one a lot. They showed a lot of poise, and there was a couple times where you seen Coach Terry pull Jerron over to the side in between when they were shooting free throws, and he had little talks with him, and Jerron was shaking his head. He understood, you know, he knew what he did wrong. It was one of them was after like a reverse layup or something like that he missed, and Terry pulled him aside and said, you know, come on, start thinking. You know, you could tell. I don't know what he said. I wish I did, but he just had a talk with him, and then he cleared it up after that. There was a time where Karachi sent that three ball. That's his new favorite thing. Now, I don't know. I think blocks is his favorite thing, but that's not anything new. But besides that, the whole night was positive night. The free throws were there. I looked on Wyoming's website and about their analysis of the game, you know, and seeing what they were saying about the game. That was one of the things that they said. It's weird hearing it about Fresno State because, you know, the troubles they've had at the free throw line early in the season. But to hear them say that they pulled away a little bit away in the end of the first half because of free throws, and then they pulled away at the end of the second half because of free throws, is amazing. 76%, 75.7, but we're going to give them 76% from the free throw line. Now, come on, that's where we need to be. And I think that's going to go a long way in their confidence going into these next couple games, you know, on the road today against San Jose State. And down the line about the free throws, because now the teams can't watch the tape. I mean, I know it's one game, but I think the confidence that they gain from making all those free throws Wednesday night's game is going to go a long way. They're not going to feel so jittery at the foul line anymore. They know they can make them. And the confidence that they get from that game. And now all the teams that are going to be watching tape after that game and seeing how physical this Fresno State Bulldog team can be, it's going to put a lot of teams on notice in this Mountain West division. There's no doubt about it. They needed that game on Wednesday. Today, you know, they got to get right back in, focus. Don't stay caught up too long on Wednesday's game because they got a game today. But I'm just letting you know. I'm trying to tell you, if you weren't there, just how awesome it was and how exciting it was to see them play so well. I mean, Edo was in the last, there was like a minute 40 left in the game. And Wyoming was trying to make this comeback to get back and try to steal this game away from us. And Edo just had a monster block. And you felt the whole energy in the place pick up again. The team was like, let's close this game out. We still haven't got that free chicken sandwich yet. You might be like, what are you talking about, free chicken sandwich? I'm going to let you know. If you don't know, shame on you, because that means you haven't been in a game this year. But for those of you that don't know, if you show up at the Save Mart Center for one of these basketball games, if the opposing team in the second half misses both of their free throws when they go up to the line, everyone gets a free chicken sandwich. Now, the funny thing is that's the loudest I heard the Save Mart Center this year when that dang chicken sandwich was on the line. You got one guy up at the line, he misses the first free throw. And if I could have seen the decibel meter and the loudness inside that Save Mart Center on that second free throw, I have no idea how the ball just didn't rattle out of the rim, all for a chicken sandwich. And you know, those drive-thrus would have been full right after that game if he would have missed that second free throw. Everyone was pumped up about that dang chicken sandwich instead of about that electric, angry dunk from Paul Watson in the second half when he posterized. I don't even know who it was, because, you know, honestly, I'm just going to not say your name on radio so that you could save face a little bit, but I know your buddies were watching that. That dunk was something to see. He's high-fiving people in the crowd. Everyone's pumped up. You know, he got the whole team fired up, and that dunk was something else. And that was just one of the many highlights that happened in that game that night. Edo was in the house blocking shots like your best friend at the bar the night before because he knows you have finals the next day. Yeah, no shots for you, buddy. And that's how it was for Wyoming that night. I'm telling you what, he wasn't the only one, though. There was 13 total block shots. It was coming from everywhere. The physicality of this team was relentless. They wouldn't let up. And it was good to see, man. If they could just keep that, carry that momentum into the rest of the season, we're going to be A-OK, I believe, in this Mountain West. Because now everyone's got to watch those tapes and say, oh, we got to take that on. I mean, I know there's physical teams in the league. I understand that. But I'm telling you what, they don't want to watch that game. Or they might, because then they're going to have to figure out how to get around this Fresno State Bulldog defensive and offensive team that we have here. They're long. They're resilient. They're relentless. They're physical. And I think that game is going to push them to like a new level of play. Now, I know you didn't tune in to hear me ramble on all day, so I got a special treat for you. We got a chance to catch up with three-point machine junior guard Jamel Taylor from the Fresno State men's basketball team. And we're going to bring you that interview right now. All right, I'm here with Jamel Taylor for the Fresno State Bulldogs, getting ready to play San Jose State today. How you doing, Jamel?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm telling you what, after that game on Wednesday night, we're going to talk a little bit about that right now, because that was one of the most electric games I've seen in a while from you guys. How did that feel coming off that 15-point victory against Wyoming? How did you feel after you left that game?
It felt great. I think we had a lot of energy, especially going down the stretch of the game. We showed a lot of poise. And we were able to extend that lead that we had at the end.
Yeah, you want to talk about a lot of energy. I felt the energy in the building. I know everyone else felt the energy. But it seemed like there was a sense of aggression and urgency from you guys. I mean, chasing balls that were going out of bounds, diving on the ground, sprawls, calling timeouts in the middle of, like, scrums on the ground. And the blocks were endless. I mean, were you guys challenged, like, before that game? Or did you guys say to yourselves, like, let's make a statement on this floor tonight for the home crowd?
I think it has to do with the coaching and also the players' energy before the game. I think our practices have been very intense. And we've been looking forward to getting back on the floor after the Nevada game, just excited about winter. I think it's the biggest thing. You know, during the game, coaches talk about getting the 50-50 balls, and I think we beat the team to a lot of those last games, helped us out with our energy, and those blocks were exciting. Seeing Karachi get five and things like that, I think we just had a lot of urgency.
Man, Karachi establishes dominance in that game for sure. I mean, everyone was contributing with the blocks, 13 total blocks. It seemed like that even if it wasn't a block, there was no shot that was going uncontested. I mean, it was a hard foul. I mean, it wasn't anything like, you know, flagrant. It was just a hard foul. You were letting them know, like, if you're going to bring the ball in the paint, you're going to be challenged, and it's not going to be easy. And you guys established that from the very beginning. Even with the hustle game that was going on, I remember early in the game, Jerron, he got blocked. He thought he was going to have a layup. He got blocked, and then he ran back six steps after and stole that ball back, passed it off, and it was an easy layup. I mean, talk about what teams are going to see after that game, the dominance you guys established, especially on it. I mean, you guys were scoring four. You were in double digits. You had 14 points that night. But just the dominance you established on the defense, what kind of message does that send to the rest of the division for, you know, the games coming up in the future?
I think it just shows that we're excited of playing with each other. I think our energy has really picked up, and the guys are very intense and really wanting to win. I think our defensive energy is what helped us out the most during this stretch. But I think it's just guys really wanting to win, guys enjoying playing out there. I think the crowd has helped us out a lot. You heard a lot of cheering and things like that, and they've been a lot more involved than we've seen in a while. But I think that brings a lot to us. When we're playing, we can feel that energy, and I think it gives us a lot of momentum, especially getting a few stops, getting the fast break points. Those hustle plays are big, especially how you said, like Jerron, with the, getting the shot block, but finding a way to find get a steal. I think it just shows a lot of effort and showing that we're not giving up.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on this a little bit because everyone seems to be touching on it right now. But the team's free throw percentage has been down a little bit, but this game, it really picked up. I mean, it was 76% from the free throw line. Yeah. And it kind of seemed like that Wyoming almost was going to go toward, I know Shaquille doesn't like when people mention like this, but kind of like a hack-a-shack mentality. Like, we're going to foul them on purpose and see if they can make these free throws in the stretch.
Yeah.
And maybe we can climb back into the game this way. For a team that was struggling from the free throw line, how much does that game establish confidence in the whole team? The jitters are going to be gone. I mean, it's one game, but it's a big step in the realm of closing out games and finishing games when they're going to try to send you to the free throw line. I mean, the confidence in the locker room and then going into this game today has got to be high from the free throw line.
Yeah, we've been working on those a lot. Coaches is making sure each guy shoots almost around 100 free throws a day to practice, you know, before a shoot around. But the biggest thing, I think, is how we have been attacking the basket. We emphasized getting to the basket and playing inside out the last two games. And I think it's helped out a lot. And then last game, the amount of free throws we shot was just because of our aggression getting to the basket, not settling for bad shots. And we ended up shooting about 37 and making 28. So I think it was a big step for us, and, you know, guys being comfortable knocking those free throws down because they got to the line so much. So, you know, when you constantly get in there and, you know, getting a little rhythm, it's a lot easier than making it when you're pretty stiff and haven't been there pretty much the whole game.
And that also sends them a message. You yourself, you're not only deadly from the three-point line because, you know, in that game you only had one from the three-point line, but you still had 14 points. Were they keying on you a little bit more outside on the arc, you know, trying to stop you from shooting at three, and that's why you had to bring it inside? Or is it just the mentality that you said your team works from the inside out, so you don't have to rely on the three-point line, but it's a nice bonus to have in your back pocket when you do, you know, heat up again? Is that like something to send to the teams?
I do enjoy the three, obviously, but I think the biggest thing, they were trying to, when I would catch it off screens, trying to take me off the line. But I've been working on trying to be a little bit more aggressive, getting to the basket, just kind of mixing the game up so I couldn't be a one-dimensional player. But I think it's helped out with the team getting to the free throw line because it's a spot where I am pretty efficient at last game shooting 10. I made 9. But I'm just trying to find different ways to help out with the team. So if they take me off the line, I don't want to have the team playing 4-on-5 pretty much with me just standing at the three-point line. So I want to be a bigger factor getting to the basket, creating fouls and things like that.
When did you get good at three-point shooting? Like, how much extra time does that take? How much extra practice does that take to get good from the three-point line, to get great from the three-point line like you are?
It takes a lot. I actually started when young. That was one of the first things that I started working on, even before dribbling a lot. I worked on shooting. That's something my dad and I kind of prided ourselves on, helping me be an efficient shooter. And really, when at about the age of 10, 11, I would shoot them deep just simply because of how many times I worked on it during early mornings, during nights, and things like that. And I think it's helped with each team that I kind of play for because it helps stretch out the floor so guys can't just, you know, play me at the three-point line because I can shoot beyond that. So being able to stretch the defense out gives guys like Paul, Jaron, Cullen, guys who drive the ball, who are good at driving the ball, opportunity to get closer to the basket and not having people playing in the gaps too heavy because I'm not able to shoot.
Yeah, exactly. And with the pressure that you guys apply and the attacking mentality that you guys have going to the paint, that's just going to open a door for you later on the season when everyone has they have to double team underneath. They have to get some help, you know, from the weak side. They could just kick it out to you at the 3-point, and then you can bang that three ball from wherever, you know. So
yeah, it gives us a lot more options. And especially having a good efficient rate at finishing at the basket, getting to the free throw line, especially like last game. If we weren't making a layup, we were at the free throw line pretty much. So I think that's the biggest thing. And teams can't just keep playing, you know, too heavy in the gap, or are we going to just keep getting to the paint?
Did you have any three-point shooters that you looked up to while you were growing up? Reggie Miller's or anything?
Growing up, I didn't really have a three-point shooter. My biggest players were, like, as a guard, was Kobe, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's kind of everybody. But Allen Iverson was a big one for me, you know, being a six-foot guard. I liked his game. Another player I would say is like Steve Francis.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited about how, like, he gets to the basket and he could shoot. Reggie Miller, I did see a lot of his three-point shot. I thought it was pretty cool. His form was different to me, but I just saw how efficient he was making them. I would say Reggie and then also Ray Allen. Allen's three-pointer was amazing. And just seeing that, you know, kind of from young when he was with the Bucks going to the Sonics and then Celtics and things like that. It was pretty cool to see how each year he was always at the top.
I was a big Knicks fan back in the day, so I'm dating myself. I was a Ewing fan, so Reggie Miller was always the assassin that would take us out of, you know, playoff runs or whatever. And I wasn't really a big fan of him then, but I had a lot of respect for his shooting game for sure. There's no doubt about that. But I want to get into this game. Last time you guys met, they beat you on their floor, you know, 65-53. You know, they have a guy there, Brandon Clark. He averaged about a double-double when he played you guys last. 6'8", sophomore. You know, he pretty much gets his points. Has this been addressed, you know? Is this part of the game plan coming up for this game? I mean, he's going to get his points, but is there any way you guys come up with anything to kind of shut him down or minimize him?
We've been focusing, watching film, things like that, knowing last year how effective he was. And even this year, he's kind of been, a double-double guy. So we understand his game. We just have to stick to our principles, I think, as far as how we're going to be playing him, making sure he doesn't get anything really easy to the basket. Understanding that, you know, each play we have to play with, to match his energy, because he's very energetic as a big. And as you, you know, get laid back and things like that, if he's coming at you, it's going to be easier for him to score than if you, you know, have the energy. You're not going to stop every play, but, you know, if you match his energy, it won't be as effective as if you didn't have any energy sticking him.
You know, Coach Terry, when Wyoming came in the building, they were he was talking about their transition threes, how they could just throw up a three really fast, and you guys shut that down pretty much completely. San Jose has a man, EJ Boyce, he's coming in. He just came back, but his last game, he went 4-for-7 from the 3-point line. Do you have him on your radar as well?
We have him on our radar. We've kind of done the same thing this last game as far as preparation. Wyoming shoots around 28 threes a game. They San Jose shoots around 22. So we understand, you know, they're kind of looking for a 3-2 with him and some of the other pick and pop posts and wings. So we know in transition we got to locate those guys early, make sure we make it hard for them to get a shot off. And then after we stop that, we got to buckle down and kind of get play defense for however much time is on the clock.
What do you think the bottom line is of this game before we wrap up of, like, how you're going to take this victory? They don't have a division win yet, you know, so they're looking for their first win. How are you going to prevent them? Because they also have Isaac Thornton. He's right below Jaron and Cullen and Steals averaging per game. You know, he's right there with them. So do you think that it's going to come down to a turnover, like who commits the least amount of turnovers? Or what do you think is going to be the key to victories in this game today?
I think our biggest thing is we have to play them as them being one of the top teams in the league. Each game, you know, if they play hard, they'll play hard as a team. And if we kind of get laid back, understand, knowing they haven't won a game yet, they're capable if you don't bring your game. As we saw last year, we kind of were sluggish, and they ended up getting us a pretty good win. So we just got to understand that, you know, they're at home, and they're going to be excited playing us, and we just have to match their energy or try to get more energy than they're doing on the floor. I think that's the biggest chance for us to win. And just understanding that, them being at home, you know, they'll get some plays, but if we can stick to our game plan, you know, on defense or offense, we should have a good chance of winning.
Jamel, hey, I want to thank you for calling in and give us a couple minutes of your time, bud, and I wish you the best of luck today, man. Go Dogs.
Appreciate it.
Bulldogs play the San Jose State Spartans today at 2 p.m. You can watch that game online or on TV at Mountain West Network, or you can listen to it here in Fresno, 940 a.m. ESPN Radio, with Paul Leffler and Mark Q. Jones having the call. That was junior guard and three-point specialist Jamel Taylor. And coming up right now, live via telephone, I have sophomore guard for the Fresno State Lady Bulldogs, Candace White. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate your time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You got a big game coming up today at the Save Mart Center. You guys are coming off a 48-70 loss against Wyoming, but the game before that against Nevada, you had a breakout performance. You were on fire that game with 25 points. Can you tell us a little bit about that game? What brought you to that zone? What made you be so dialed in that game?
I think as a team, we were just focused on that game. Coming from a hard loss from New Mexico, it was tough. So we went into Nevada thinking, you know what, we need to get this job done so then we can try and forget about the New Mexico loss. And I think as a team, we did great. And I couldn't be more proud of our freshmen who stepped up in the Nevada game. They did so well, played a lot of minutes, got some points that we needed, and played a crucial amount of minutes.
Yeah, no, the loss against Nevada, it seemed like early in the season, a lot of the team, there was multiple players scoring in double digits. You know, like the game of Pacific, there was four or five players in double digits that game. Mm-hmm. And then as the season has gone on, it's kind of like turned into more of a singular, you know, offensive scoring output from one player or another player. Is there anything that they've been throwing at you recently, like that Wyoming threw at you, that is kind of throwing the team a little bit off kilter here. It's not like you guys are like in a danger zone or anything. You still have a winning record, and you guys still trying to figure out each other, maybe get the chemistry going?
I think it's a little bit of chemistry, but I also think it's a little bit of trying to stay focused and stay consistent. Obviously, we're a young team, so consistency is something that we need to work on. But two, I'll give credit for our opposing teams scouting us very well, doubling down on Bago, knowing she's our leading scorer from last year. And so I think some of us just need to step up, and I can't express how much we just need to focus on ourselves and stay consistent.
I want to go back to that 25-point performance and kind of focus on you individually. I know that you guys are always talk about how much you help each other out, but did you learn anything about yourself as far as your experience and your professional growth in that 25-point performance that you may have already knew about yourself, or something new that you might have saw in yourself that you could be so aggressive and score at such a high level?
I think it was more realizing that you got to shoot the ball in order to be able to make it. And I think the more shots you get off, the more chances of you making the shot. So I think I just realized, Candace, you need to shoot the ball more. And that just comes with everyone else along with the team. The more we shoot, the higher chances we have of getting the ball in the basket.
Yeah, sure. What do you think is your biggest strength on the court? What do you think you bring to the table that shows your talents the best?
You know, so far, I think one thing, it's not necessarily my best talent right now, but one thing I think that I'm growing and I'm trying to work on is becoming a better leader on the court. It's tough because we lost 5 seniors last year, so we're still looking for that leader on the court, on the basketball court and outside the basketball court. But I think that's one thing that I want to focus on and continue to grow on with this team, with this young team.
Yeah, you talk about losing 5 seniors last year, and it has to be a process to go through and something that's hard to work through. And you're coming up against a San Jose State team that has nothing but seniors. They've been playing together.
They do.
Nothing but seniors. You know, they're a very veteran team. They've been playing together for a number of years. What do you think is going to take for you guys to pull out a victory today at the Save Mart Center? What do you think you're going to have to key on? Like, what's the scouting report, I guess I could say?
I think we just need to have a focus on Ramos, the fact that she's the leading scorer, and she's scoring a great amount of points every game. But I think just finding her, sticking with her, not letting her go off on her scoring rampage that she usually does. And I think it's just not backing down. We got to be able to go out there and be bold.
Yeah, you got, oh, hey, there you go. Be bold, be tough. You got to play tough. I mean, especially you mentioned Des Ramos. A lot of people were picking her, you know, it's really early in the year, but a lot of people were picking her for Mountain West Player of the Year. She's coming off back-to-back, I think, 30-plus games.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you guys have to do to it's almost like in comparison to Russell Westbrook or something, like he's going to get his points, you know. She's going to get her points. But how do you minimize her damage, you know, during the game? Do you guys come up with a strategy for that? I'm sure it was addressed.
I think it's just slowing her down, trying to slow her down earlier, picking her up early on offense so she can't really get into her usual motion that she does off a transition. She's a great transition player, so I think just stopping her early in the backcourt and having them set up their offense and run it.
Now, it seems like they can put up a high number of points. Obviously, if they're getting 30 from her, they're going to put up a high number of points. You guys beat Nevada. They also beat Nevada, but it was a little bit different point margin. They put up over 100 points. They scored 107 against them. Is that the key, is just slowing this team down and stopping them and getting back on transition defense and just not allowing them easy buckets?
You know, it's going to be a little bit of both. Since they're a scoring team, I think it's going to take us having a defensive game, but at the same time, we need to put points up as well. So I think it's just going to be a back-to-back, long, hard-fought, 40-minute game, and I think we'll be ready for it.
Well, good thing you got that pillar of defense in the middle with Bago, huh?
Oh, yes. She's great.
She has a tendency to slow some people down every once in a while.
All the time.
Yeah. As far as today's game, hey, there's going to be people showing up. You wear green today. You come in the game. You get in for free. Hopefully we can pack that Save Mart Center today with a lot of the Red Wave to give you guys support to take this victory home against a tough San Jose State team. Candace, I really appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your time, and I wish you all the best of luck today in this game and for the future in the upcoming season.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Go Dogs.
Bye-bye.
That was sophomore guard Candace White. Come on out today to Save Mart Center. It's the promotional day of green. If you wear green, you get into the women's game for free today. Come out and support them. Tip off is at 2 p.m. at the Save Mart Center. the Fresno State women's Bulldog basketball team will take on San Jose State. So dress your kids up in green. Come out here, grab a hot dog, grab some nachos, grab some chips. Get to your seats and be ready to enjoy a 40-minute hard-fought game that they're going to have against San Jose State. But they need your support, so get out to Save Mart Center and give them that. Would you, Red Wave? Thanks again to our guests from the men's basketball side, Jamel Taylor, and from the women's basketball side, Candace White. Host Eddie Hughes will be back in the studio again next week, and hopefully we wrestle in that director of athletics of ours, Jim Barco, to be back here as well. Please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports, and if you ever have a question for the Sports Report, send us a tweet, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.